Hello, everyone. This is Don Jurgler, and welcome to the Insuring Cannabis Podcast, a bi-monthly trip into the intersection of two industries that couldn't be more different. Let's talk about long-tail risks. Aside from the vape crisis that never rose to the level of a true crisis for the cannabis industry, you don't hear much talk about risks that are potentially lying in wait for cannabis. There's been some product liability action, issues involving a product going through the chain of distribution, some contractual issues, a consumer problem with the label, a contamination claim involving a recall here and there, but no big injuries, no glaring red flags. Or so it seems there are no red flags. The people who perpetually look for dangers a ways down the road, attorneys who represent insurers, veteran risk managers, they see them.
What the cannabis industry has really been focused on, and I think rightly so over the last few years, are issues that could arise from immediate injuries. Somebody consumes the product and they have a bad reaction. They have an adverse drug reaction, or they have an immediate symptom, whether it's sort of psychosis or something that causes injury to themselves or others. That has not materialized in any meaningful way. There have been a few cases, but it's been surprisingly low in terms of numbers.
That was Ian Stewart, an attorney who represents numerous carriers. Stewart is founder and co-chair of the Cannabis and Hemp Law Practice at Wilson Elser, and he's a regular speaker on cannabis topics at conferences and in the media. It's the big surprises in life, the ones we don't, or perhaps won't, see right now, that we should all be worried about, right? That's a highly rhetorical question during a global pandemic. The long-tail risks, as the insurance industry calls them, are what Stewart believes should be keeping people up late at night.
I think what the industry hasn't really focused on adequately, and because the science and these products are sort of maturing at the same time, what we should be doing is looking over the horizon for the longer-term, sort of what we call long-tail environmental and toxic tort style risks. And what I mean by that, a toxic tort is an injury from a chemical or a substance, and often it'll rise over time and it's not necessarily immediately apparent when somebody's injured. So think about asbestos and lead paint and talc. Big tobacco is a great example of this. And I'm not equating cannabis with any of these other products, saying that they're anywhere close to being as dangerous. That's not what I'm suggesting. Nevertheless, it would be foolish not to think about it. And we do know from some studies that have come out, particularly in the last couple of years, that there are potential long-term risks from using cannabis. And, I'm thinking of a paper that was put out by the American College of Cardiology, for example. This was last year in May of 2020, that was a sort of an educational note advising its members, the cardiologists out there, that consuming marijuana may have a material increased risk of vascular conditions, or the risk of heart attack or stroke or transient ischemic attack, things that involve the vascular system. And it does make sense, because cannabis affects the endocannabinoid system, and the CB1 and CB2 receptors are all through the body. We know that certain cannabinoids do have an impact on inflammation and vasodilation, for example, and that could impact some of these vascular systems in the body. And what we've seen are, coming out of some studies even some years ago in the British journal Lancet, and the World Health Organization did a study in 2015, that there is a correlation, and even in young people that potentially use marijuana, that have or can have an increased risk of some of these conditions.
We're certainly not saying here that the insurance industry can't handle long-tail risks. Nothing could be further from the proverbial truth.
Now, the insurance industry has done a good job in the past dealing with toxic exposures. They know how to handle these risks, and they do it through the use of claims-made forms. They do it through special retentions or sublimits or defense within limits, or certain policy triggers that are written into the policy involving actual injury, et cetera. And then exclusions, pollution exclusions or health hazards or exclusions for a particular substance, class action exclusions, so forth. So, I think the insurance industry is fairly well, or can be fairly well, insulated from some of these long-term risks. But then that leaves the question, well, what about the cannabis industry, the operators? You know, are we operating here in a situation where, you know, we're slowly developing, you know, a lot of sort of risk out there that's going to be uninsured or underinsured in 5 or 10 years? And that's what concerns me.
Stewart isn't the only one in the choir preaching. He's hearing more industry professionals start to wonder about the risks that may be bubbling up in 5, 10 years.
You know, right now, underwriters who are underwriting cannabis risks, who are thinking about this, and more over the last year or 18 months, as some new science is coming out, I think it's becoming more clear that when we're, you know, writing policies and thinking about, you know, how to define terms within the policies and what risks we need to underwrite and what we need to exclude, this whole subset of theoretical future risk should be front and center in their minds.
Rocco Petrelli, chairman of the National Cannabis Risk Management Association, a cannabis risk management-focused not-for-profit trade association, comes from an industry that's all about looking a long way down the road.
What we do know is that we live in a very litigious society, and obviously, you know, there's a whole cadre of plaintiff attorneys out there just waiting for the opportunity to pounce on the cannabis market, you know, because of the lack of history and the unknown nature of this exposure. So then I think it really, instead of trying to predict what those potential liabilities could be, you know, it's really more about developing the proper practice that you protect yourself. And again, it's all about, you know, making sure that you have, you know, SOPs in place, that you have proper tracking in place, that you understand the supply chain in and out. I mean, this is one of the areas I enjoy because, as you and I have talked before, I mean, I came out of automotive components manufacturing. And, I mean, this was a barrier to entry for us. You know, if I made a sprocket or a gear or a connecting rod that went into a Ford or General Motors vehicle, I mean, I needed to have lot traceability and product traceability all the way back to the mine that the iron ore came out of that was used to manufacture that part. So I very much enjoyed passing that discipline along because, again, just because you're not part of the creation of a product doesn't mean that you're not going to be drug into a product liability suit. And if you are, you know, you have to have done your homework and you have to have backed yourself up with very good practice in terms of making sure that the risk stays in the area that the risk was created.
One way Petrelli and the NCRMA are dealing now with risks the industry may be facing far into the future is through education.
Well, one of the biggest unforeseens or unknowns is that we just, you know, and this isn't a testament to any level of potential dangerousness when it comes to cannabis, but we just don't know what the risks are. And for that reason, a particular approach that we've taken is that, you know, we're educating into the proper practice of, you know, risk mitigation when it comes to product liability. And that, of course, differs at different levels in the vertical. But in the dispensary scene, for example, I mean, our members, we're focusing their educational process on just control of the product and understanding of the product through things like track and trace and proper labeling, and also assuring that from, again, you know, the dispensary creates nothing. So properly covered, they should participate in none of the product liability risk either. And for that reason, you know, for example, they have to make sure that they have contracts in place with supply contracts with their vendors that very explicitly defines who has responsibility for product quality.
Petrelli is a big fan of education. He's been on this podcast before talking about it, and he couldn't help adding some more emphasis on what he feels is a pretty important topic.
Regarding the NCRMA, it's all education, support, and expertise. So again, we've created our NCRM Academy, which is eight curricula and 35 courses that all address the potential risks that our members have told us that exist in their businesses. And I mean, if you'd click on our website and check out that curricula, you'd see that we have a product liability curricula, and underneath that we have several courses that are made to educate our members so that really they protect themselves against potential exposures that aren't of their making, and also keep their practices clean so that they don't create product liability concerns or potentials within their own organization.
Let's get back to Stuart. He may sound like a worrywart. However, he's not above pointing out an occasional silver lining, if, for nothing else, to offer yet another cautionary tale. The great vape crisis a few years back, when a number of people fell ill or even died because of what turned out to be dangerous chemicals in vapes they were smoking, may have been a great wake-up call that cannabis companies, their risk managers, and the insurance professionals who work to protect them really needed.
So in August of 2019, when the vape crisis suddenly and unexpectedly exploded between August and November, nobody saw it coming. And fortunately, it turned out to be caused almost exclusively by unregulated additives that were in illicit market products. So it turned out to be, in retrospect, despite all the injuries and deaths, a good thing for the industry, because we were able to kind of clean up to the extent that any operators were adding some of these, unknown chemicals in their products. You know, that's been stopped, and the insurance market responded quickly to change their forms. But I think that's a great example of, it's the sort of we don't know what we don't know and what's over the horizon. And another vape crisis could be on us anytime in cannabis. I think that we will have future exposures that, could pose sort of existential risks for the industry. And that's why it's so important to be thinking about this now.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Insuring Cannabis Podcast. You can find other episodes from this series by visiting insurancejournal.tv. Until next time, I'm Don Jurgler.